The Northwest Arkansas National Airport is about to turn 25 years old. The airport opened in late 1998 and has become a fixture in the region in the 25 years since. Almost a million people are expected to board flights this year, bound for destinations across the country and around the world. But building a new airport in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, in the 1990s was anything but guaranteed. Hello, I'm Ron Wood, and I've got a couple of guests with me today who are instrumental in getting the airport built and up and running to shed some light on how it all came to pass and what X&A means to our region, Uvalde Lindsay and Scott Van Langham. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Hard to believe it's been 25 years.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Could you guys introduce yourselves and tell us just a little about yourselves?
Uvalde Lindsay. I started to work for the airport XNA in 1990.
Scott Van Lanningham. Uvalde hired me 2 years later, so I didn't come along until 1992.
You're the short timer on it. So how did the idea of a new airport come about, and who were some of the folks that were able to make it happen?
Uvalde.
It all started in the late 1980s, 88, 89. Mr. Sam Walton, Don Tyson, J.B. Hunt, some of the regional leaders were putting together their 10-year business plan, and they realized pretty quickly that they couldn't achieve the goals that they set out for their company, the growth and all the activity that they wanted to have, if they didn't have a good airport to get some places they really wanted to go. They were tired of flying on prop jets and cancellations and all of that sort of thing, and then finally getting on a jet plane that you could go where you really needed to go.
Mm. Scott, you've said that conditions were just right at the time for a new regional airport. Can you explain a little bit about why?
I think it was the council had just come together, and it required those business people. Alice Walton was the first chairman of the council itself. Mm-hmm. And the region, I think, was starting to at least think like a region, not necessarily act like a region.
No.
Well, we'd had Beaver Lake, but you still had what John Lewis used to call the Friday night fight atmosphere. It was just sort of starting to come together. The airport was one of those things that was going to be, and they knew it, was going to be expensive, was going to be risky, and so no one governmental entity would have to take it on. And it was Uvalde and Jim Blair, I think, and John Elrod, who then went around to all of the cities and counties on behalf of the council and said, we want you to form this thing called a regional airport authority.
It was created under some state statutes that Senator David Malone, passed for us in the 60s, 1962, I believe. And we took advantage of having a Regional Airport Act to bring together the five cities and the two counties to create the airport. And Scott's exactly right. It was Friday night football all week long. We were fighting over, I think, quite frankly, the crumbs that were falling off the table when it came to getting funding for infrastructure. We just could not get away from fighting each other. So rebuilding a regional emphasis and saying, I don't just live in Fayetteville, I live in Northwest Arkansas, creating that regional image of working together, because all of us together are stronger than we are individually. And that was sort of the genesis thought of putting together not only the regional airport, but the improvements to the infrastructure, the highway system. We were the fourth largest, I think, MSA in the country. Didn't have a direct link to the interstate highway system.
We did not have a four-lane road in or out of Northwest Arkansas. I mean, it's easy to forget that now, given the improvements, but at that time, we had all those trucking companies, and we didn't have a four-lane highway in or out of this place.
Up and down over Mount Gaylor and And Interstate 33, Oklahoma 33 to Tulsa, which still is horrible. Yeah. So most dangerous highways in this part of the world.
Uvalde, what were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome in order to get this thing going?
Well, it's always an obstacle. I mean, I guess the largest obstacle was when Alice Walton undertook the process, and we tried to help her do that. To sell revenue bonds when you didn't even have a completed airport, didn't have a single airline, much less a place for them to land. We didn't have any contracts. We had absolutely zero revenue. And it's hard to sell revenue bonds if you don't have any revenue. And Alice was stuck with the deal and never did actually buy the bonds, but was able to encourage, I will say, strongly. Some of her colleagues and counterparts in New York and on the East Coast, basically, one or two on the West Coast, to come and buy those bonds. And she would make sure that they weren't left hanging in the bag, if you will.
So Lama was her investment banking firm, and they set up these series of visits. The folks would fly in from San Francisco and Boston and all of these places, and we'd do the drive them around Northwest Arkansas, show them the airport, show them the various places, and then give them the, here's why you need to invest your money in this project.
John Stossel called the project a boondoggle on the news program 2020 back in the day. Senator John McCain asked for an investigation. What would you say to them now?
I'd say to John he was wrong.
Proof's in the pudding, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Senator McCain's asking for a GAO was an outgrowth of Stossel's story. And, of course, we came out of that with absolutely flying colors. And it was a great relief, quite frankly. And
I can make a weird argument that it may have actually helped us, because it was the issuance of that that then let us turn around to those investors and say, see, I mean, this is a yeah. legitimate deal. I mean,
GAO has already signed off on it. You know, we're ready to go.
did having Bill Clinton in the White House at the time help?
Help or hurt? I don't. We just, you know, it's one thing John Elrod taught us early on. Don't ever say anything it could send up on the front page of the Washington Post, because that's, you just really don't want to do that. We didn't involve President Clinton very much. Of course, we worked closely with Rodney Slater, who was Secretary of Transportation at the time, and with basically his staff and the people at FAA. But I don't, you know, it's one of those things. We tried to keep the president's office involved.
David Pryor took the lead. He sort of stepped in as the head Washington contact. I think that was not accidental. I think that was probably to keep it from ending up. And at the dedication, Bill Clinton said his job was to keep his budget department from killing.
Yeah, that's right. And John Paul Hammersmith helped a lot.
John Paul?
Helped a lot.
Yes.
Speaking of money, when you guys opened, money was really short. How did you manage?
Well, you start out, the airport started out with an original cost estimate of about $140 million. And we just had disagreements. We couldn't agree with our engineers that had drafted that cost estimate and that plan. And quite frankly, we departed company with those engineers and got a new firm. And we ended up building the airport for about $107 million. We saved about $32 million, $33 million in that whole process.
And it was all driven by the motto of, you build only what you have to have right now, but design it with the idea of it's going to grow. We can add those other gates, those other things, parking areas, you can add all of that later, but the original staff, the original facility, the footprint had to be minimal.
You'll notice even now with all the development that's out there and all the additions that are being made, they're not tearing up much concrete. It was built in phases, so you could add on either side of the terminal, you could add ramp space, you could add concourses, you could add anything you needed, parking or parking decks or parking garages or anything.
Yep.
Are y'all surprised by how successful the airport has been in 25 years?
I'm not surprised it's grown. We had good estimates. We knew where we needed to go to break even and where we needed to go to keep the airlines happy and to provide the kind of service that this region needed. And the regional growth has helped fuel that, and the regional growth has been exponential. I think that's what surprised me, and the regional growth obviously leads to more employments, more people getting on airplanes.
The surprise for me was the pace of the growth. I mean, the point, and even remember, it was right after we opened that 9/11 happened, and airline activity went down dramatically. We bounced back relatively soon, and actually ended the 2011 with a slight 2001 with a slight overall increase, and then it just went back to double digit growth. It was just amazing.
What does the future hold for XNA, Uvalde?
I'm sorry?
What does the future hold for XNA?
I think the future's very bright. We've got good leadership. The Airport Authority Board is and has been an outstanding group of people that think regionally, that are looking out for the best interest of the airport. They've had good staff with Scott and Kelly. They've got good staff now. I think the future's very bright.
One of the things I tell folks is, for the mayors and the county judges, the appointments to the airport board was like the appointments to the highway commission or the university board of trustees.
Very important.
So it was. So they tended to look around their communities and pick the strongest people that were also supporters of theirs, and that was important. But that really led to us getting folks like George Billingsley or Bill Foreman. I mean,
Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson. A lot of the other really, really good folks.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for being here today.
It's our pleasure.
And if you'd like to read more about Northwest National's 25th anniversary, we'll have a story in Sunday's Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thank you for listening.